Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned. Praise God. I am very excited. I actually had Eric, I'm calling you out, brother. Eric tested me this week. He's like, are you starting your new Easter series? I'm like, yeah, I am starting my new Easter series. He's like, are you excited? I said, yeah, I'm excited. He said, I knew you'd be excited. We are starting our new series. It's called The Road to New Life. And it starts today, and it goes all the way through Easter, and this week, we're going to be starting it off, and then next week, we're going to talk about the high road. Pastor Daniel, would you mind getting me my table? On Good Friday, we're going to talk about the low road. And when we talk about the high road next week during Palm Sunday, there's going to be some unexpected things that we're going to talk about next week, because as I was preparing and praying, the Lord just showed me a couple things. And then when we talk about the low road and the death of Christ, we all know that that's actually a high point for us because of what Jesus did. But it was a difficult thing that he had to go through that, and it's horrible that he had to endure that and go through that. But even in the low road, we're going to talk about some things. And then at Easter, we're going to reach our destination, and we're going to talk about the new life that God has for us. But today, I wanted to talk to you about, it's just a simple idea called road conditions. Road conditions. I like watching the morning news. Anybody, like, I'm getting ready in the morning, I put it on, I'm listening to it. But what I like is they've got this, I watch Fox 11, Good Day Wisconsin. They're my favorite people. I love Pete Petoniak. He's amazing. The way he just kind of stands there and just kind of, hey, guys. You know, it's just amazing. I could tell you all about where it can't, we don't have time for all that. But they have this lady, and I had to write down her name because I forgot. Melissa McCready. She's the one that does the traffic. And she's got all the pictures and stuff. But every once in a while, she's got this map on the screen, and it's got like green movement or yellow slow movement or red. Or when there's construction, she says this is closed and that is closed. I got to confess something today. Two things I'm going to confess. One, my favorite book in the Bible growing up, I just want to tell you what it is, okay? My favorite book of the Bible growing up was Maps, okay? When I was at my Bible, I would open it up, and on the back, it's the last book in the Bible. And most, if you have a physical Bible, if you have an electronic Bible, you can't see it. But in your physical Bible, because I even have it right here, you turn to the back, and there is the maps. You know what I mean? I have studied every single one of the Bible maps that are in the back here. I know them all. I could tell you everywhere Paul went on his three missionary journeys, because that's in every physical Bible. But anyways, I got maps issues. Also, there's another thing. You know, I pray about and I seek out and I get credentials of people who come and speak. And we had Stephen Jellison. He's one of our partners, our global partners. He works at UW-Eau Claire, just trying to help college students find Jesus. He said something last week. It's just not true, and I had to bring it to your attention. I apologize for what he said. Kirk Cousins is not the best quarterback in the NFL. The truth is, Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the NFL, which isn't true, which means the Vikings are going to stink this year, which is probably the truth. But I love maps. When we were living in Iowa, we lived in Des Moines for 2 years. That was our first area where we got to serve the church as a pastor. And in Des Moines, it hardly ever snows. Did you guys see snow this morning when I came into the building? There's a little bit of dandruff on the facade of the building this morning. A little bit of snow, but in Iowa, it hardly ever snowed. And if it would snow during the day, it would melt that same day. But when they would do the road condition reports, they would put up. And Eric is from Iowa. You probably remember this too. But they would put up the percentage of how much ice covered the roads are. So like on a good day in the winter, it would be 25% covered in ice. An okay day, the roads are covered 50% in ice. Most of the time in the winter, they're covered 75% to 100% in ice. And I was working with youth at the time. I was a youth pastor at our church. And they always had the youth pastor retreat. at the end of January or the beginning of February, and we had to drive out of the city to get there. So they wanted all the youth pastors to get into a wreck, is basically what I found. Because when you go on Interstate 80 out of Des Moines towards Quad Cities, there would be so many cars in the ditch. There would be tractor trailers in the ditch. It was incredible. And it always take us about four times longer. It was only about 45 minutes out of Des Moines, but it would take like 4 hours to get there because you had to, you know what I'm saying? Because the road conditions were so bad or so good. You probably remember a time when the road conditions weren't so good. Well, I want to talk about, well, let's dive in. I want to start with our Bible verse for this series. It's out of Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at this over the next few weeks together. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13, it says this: "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way." And verse 14, "But the gateway to life is very, very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it." So the first thing we need to know, that the easy road for us to go on is going to take you to a destination that you don't want to be. And the reason the road is so easy and the reason the road is so big, Jesus tells us, is because most people like to go that way. If you've been on a well-worn path, that's because a lot of people have traveled that way before. But if you want to get off the beaten path, you want to go where very few people have gone, and it's a little bit more difficult of a road. And when we're talking about the road to new life, because that's what we're talking about as we're heading up towards Easter, on the road to new life, Jesus starts the very beginning and he says, hey, there's only one way to get on. There aren't multiple on-ramps to the road of life. There's only one gate, and his name is Jesus. And when you're on that road, we need to understand that once we have new life in Christ, the road is not going to be easy. So I got about half hour to try to convince you to get on the road anyways, because I just kind of soured the whole thing. Because the road conditions are hard. But I want to tell you something. This is what sometimes people don't understand. And if you're new to church, or maybe you're just investigating and you're signing up for Alpha and you want to get in on some of this and you've got questions, this is what I want you to think about. Whether you're living for Jesus or not, there are problems. And when you have Jesus in your life, it doesn't mean that there's an absence of problems, because some people think that when I put my life in Jesus' hands, yes, he won't fail me, but I still have to go through the challenge. The problem is, if you don't have Jesus in your life, who's got the power to help you to overcome? You got to do it your own way. And I've tried it my own way, and it doesn't work very well. And Jesus is just saying, hey, here it is. Now, I looked up that word narrow, and that word narrow comes from this Greek word that means like a wine press or a grape press. So the road that we're going to travel on over the next few weeks, and the road that hopefully all of you want to get on, if you're on it already, that's great, and we're going to talk about how we can walk that road. If you're not on it yet, I hope that today would be the day you decide, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, and I'm going to get on the road. It may be hard, but what we need to understand is that the road that we're going on is a pressure-filled road. It's a pressed, it's a narrow road. It's a road where there's not a lot of gap, because if you put a bunch of grapes and you try to press them and squash them and they're this far apart, you're not going to squash anything. But the good news is, when we get that pressure on us, it turns us into diamonds. It makes us stronger. It helps us to get through. And even though it's a difficult and a narrow road, do you ever notice that it's easy to do stuff that's wrong? Anybody ever notice that? Right? How many of you had to take a seminar at work that was mandated to you because you were doing such a good job, you need to learn how to do your job worse? Right? How many of you have had so many driving tickets and so many moving violations? But actually what happened was, how many have a perfect driving record so I can mock you a little bit? Okay, I see you. I'm coming after you after church. It's been a while since I've got a speeding ticket, right, and gotten in an accident, but man alive. Just don't ask my mother-in-law, but that's a different story. But how many of us who've got, all of you who've got a perfect driving record, right? The state of Wisconsin has called you and said, you need to drive worse. We've got this class on Saturdays. We want you to come because you're driving too well. You need to learn how to drive worse. You're making all the rest of us look bad. Now, I would appreciate that, but it's not how that goes, right? In school, right? You're getting good grades in your classes, and your teacher says, you're going to have to stay late today. You need to learn how to hand in poor homework. I know you wrote that paper and you turned it in. I gave you an A. Well, today you're going to learn how to get a C minus. I want to teach you how to do that. That's not the way it works, right? It is so easy for us to do the wrong thing. That's why so many people go on the big, broad road that leads to hell and leads to death, is because that's easy for us to do. It's easy for us to get a moving violation. It's easy for us to get something on the test wrong. It's easy for us to maybe mess something up at work. We're always in these situations where people are trying to probably sell us something or go to a seminar so that we can do better. Because it's natural for every human being, it's how we were born, to do things that are wrong. I say this all the time to parents, and maybe you found this to be true, maybe not. Most of the time, baby's first word isn't mama and dada, it's no. Right? Stephen Jellison was here last week. Their baby is 11 months and starting to move, and they're like, whoa, where'd the baby go? You know what I mean? And just kind of getting into stuff and pulling stuff. You got to baby proof. You got to put the things in the plug so they don't stick the thing in the plug and all that kind of stuff. You got to have the doors that nobody can get open because then the baby can't get in there, but then you can never clean the dishes because all the dish soap is under there and you can't get the thing. I don't like going into the nursery here at church because when I try to, you know, you need to have a sign. Lisa does our nursery. And by the way, if you want to have a great time, my wife and I, before we got into ministry, we were in charge of our nursery at our church. If you want to have a great time playing with those babies and those kids in the nursery, make sure you see Lisa today and say, I want to help. You can apply. We'll do a background check on you to make sure you're safe and not shady. But it's easy for us to do things that are wrong. It's so spacious because we naturally go that way. And the problem with the narrow road is that it's small. Like I said, it's like it's pressed. It's this little thing. My son and I, when he was turning 18, we went and hiked 3 days in the Porcupine Mountains up in Ontonagon, Michigan. And there are no paths. There are no trails. In fact, we bought a book about the Porcupine Mountains that we read together, and then when we checked in, I got the map, and the book that I bought was better than the map that was given to me from the park itself. But as we were going, you just had to look for a tree that had a blue circle painted on it. And so we're just kind of walking and going. In some parts, you can see there's open in some parts. And there was even one point where we actually got off the path and we crossed this little creek. And it wasn't a good experience, so I won't get into all that. But then we got back on track. But it was hard to find which way we go. We had to constantly be looking and trying to discover which way are we supposed to go. Where's the next tree with the little tiny blue dot? Because there's a lot of trees out here and some bears. And we're trying to find the path on which way to go. You know, our theme song for that whole 3 days is we sing the goodness of God just out into the woods. Scared the bears a little bit, but we also got encouraged in the meantime. And it's difficult. The reason my son and I went on that trip is because we wanted to challenge ourselves. We wanted to do something we hadn't done together before. We wanted to make it difficult and uncomfortable because we want to be a person that grows up and says, I'm not going to fall when things get hard. In fact, I see the hard things as a challenge to overcome. And I want to push myself and put myself in situations. I'm not going to purposely do something wrong, but I'm going to put myself in situations that are difficult so that I can move forward. And I can learn those skills, and I can grow, and I can have that accomplishment. The problem is, since the road is difficult, most people choose the other way. While there's only one on-ramp to the road of life, there's a whole lot of off-ramps. And maybe, like you and like me, sometimes we struggle. We're going down the road and things aren't going well, and we see the off-ramp. There's an off-ramp about every 3 feet on the road to new life. Every day there's another off-ramp, and sometimes there's multiple. Sometimes you've been on the highway, like when I travel up to Minneapolis between Wausau and Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area, there's like two cities. I think there's a total of three in western Wisconsin anyway, but you go past two of them on Highway 29. But then when you're in a bigger city, there's 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F. There's a ton of off-ramps, and that's what it's like on the road to new life that God has for us, is that there's lots of times to get off. There, and you may be here today, and you're contemplating, I'm getting off this road because I am tired of it. I want to tell you, don't do that. Stay on the difficult road because you're going to get something that you're not going to get anywhere else. And if you get off the road, you're going to destroy yourself. I don't want a single person, and you don't want them either. And maybe you're here today and you're living for the Lord. You need to be praying for your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors who don't know God. And if you're here today and you call yourself a follower of Jesus or a Christian, you need to be praying today because there are people in this room who are ready to get off the road or maybe haven't even gotten on the road yet. So we need to be constantly praying. That the Bible says no one comes to the Father unless you first draw them to himself. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts in regard to sin and in regard to righteousness. So we need to pray for the supernatural activity of God. When people are going through Alpha, we need to be praying during this season that people would have that hunger inside of their hearts. When we sing, Holy Spirit, fall on us, you're all we want. We need to be praying that people would actually have that desire to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in them so they can operate in the supernatural. Because when we operate in the natural, things don't get done. Things get harder. But when the Holy Spirit empowers us, we can do anything. We can do anything. We need to choose life. We need to choose difficult things. I want to give you an example of this from Jesus' own life, because we're going to be talking about Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says this, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead." This is literally the road to new life. Jesus said, I have to go where they're going to kill me. I have to go to the place where they're going to torture me. I have to go where they're going to convict me wrongly. I have to go to this place where everybody's going to be abandoning me. I have to go to this place where I'm going to be betrayed. And if you've ever experienced any of those kind of difficulties in your life, I want to tell you, that's being Christian. Because Jesus went through those very things. And those things shouldn't stop us from going down the road. You know what it said in there? Jesus said it was necessary. I have to do this. I must do that. That word necessary, I looked that up too. And it comes from this Greek word meaning to bind. How many of you tied your shoes today? Some have slip-on shoes. I don't wear slip-ons because they slip off. But Jesus said, I have bound myself to the road that leads to life. Jesus said, they are going to torture me. I'm going to suffer many things from many people, and they're going to kill me, but then I'm going to get new life. Jesus knew since the foundations of the world that he was going to have to go down this path, and he said, I have bound myself, I have tied myself up to the road that God has for me. I have taken these things, and I've made sure that I'm not going to escape. Now, I would never escape anyways because I'm doing that. You ever done a three-legged race before? Right? You purposely tie yourself up to some other yahoo who's doing the race with you. And you do that on purpose, and you're like, we're gonna win. And you look at everybody else, and like half the people fall along the way. But whoever wins, right, they're the most happy. But they willingly tied themselves to that other person so that they could achieve victory. And Jesus is saying, I have tied myself to the Father's plan. I've tied myself to the difficult road. I've tied myself to new life, and I'm going to go that way no matter what comes at me. I'm going full force, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep moving. It's necessary. He began to explain plainly to his friends, guys, I got to tell you something. Remember that road we talked about? This is where that road is leading. And now I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to talk in no uncertain terms. And you're going to understand in the most elementary language exactly what I have to tell you, that I am going to Jerusalem. I'm going there. Now, I appreciate Jesus doing that. And that's why we celebrate. Like Pastor Daniel said, without the death and resurrection of Christ, where is our hope? But Jesus died and he came back to life. But what if Jesus hadn't bound himself to the plan? What if Jesus said, I'm taking the off-ramp? He had plenty of opportunity. And I want to encourage you today. If you're on the road, think about the people you're still yet to impact. Anytime you get tempted to get off the road, say, no. I've decided, I have bound myself. It is necessary for me to stay on this road because it's multiple generations are going to be blessed through my life. And you need to start to believe that that is what God has called you to do. You are here to impact multiple generations. There was a man who came and knocked on my grandmother's door. She was a divorced, single mom with 5 boys. He knocked on the door and said, do you want to come to church? And all 6 of that family went to church. And that's why I'm standing here today, because somebody knocked on the door of my grandmother's house. And you can have that impact. And he was just the bus driver from the church. I don't even know if they had CDL back then, or if anybody could drive the bus, which would make it even better. Do you know what would happen? Right? Single mom, 5 kids. I have a hard enough time. I got 2 kids. Half the time, they were not dressed. They didn't have their hair done. They didn't have their shoes on. So the bus driver would take all the other kids to church. Then he'd drive back to my dad's house, and he'd help my dad and his brothers get the little shoes on and my grandma get their clothes on. You know, 5 boys, you know, they're just all knuckleheads. And then he would put them on the bus, and then he'd take a second route for that. You can have that impact when you invite somebody to Alpha, when you share your story with them, when you offer to pray for somebody, when they're sharing about a challenge that they're going through, when you build a relationship with somebody that you don't know or somebody you know for sure doesn't live for the Lord. You can impact generations. That's what God has for us. But I want to show you from Jesus' real life that the road has got its ups and downs. So, Matthew 16, verse 13, it says this. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Can you imagine if you went up to one of your friends and said, what do you think about me, man? What are people saying about me? You know what, John? You're an Elijah. You know what, John? You're a Jeremiah. You know, they got the churchy, yeah, at the end of it. John, you're like John the Baptist. You know what I mean? These are literal icons in their community. John the Baptist, a celebrity at the time, and Elijah and Jeremiah and the prophets, so revered for hundreds of years by this society and by this nation. They're saying, Jesus, you're amazing. And then he goes on in verse 15, it says, but who do you, my friends, say? That's what the crowd is saying about me, but who do you say I am? In verse 16, Simon says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter just took it up to a whole nother level. It's good to be Elijah. It's good to be John the Baptist. It's good to be Jeremiah. But the one we've been waiting for since the Garden of Eden, the one that Abraham talked about, the one that Moses talked about, the one that David in the Psalms talked about, and the one that all the prophets talked about, the whole first half of this book talks about you. You are the one that was sent to change the entire world, Jesus. And he's like, that's who you are. And Jesus is like, what? That's awesome. Nobody ever called me Jesus before, but maybe someday when I'm better. Jesus is having a good time on the road. You can see he's traveling towards Jerusalem. He's like, guys, we're going on this journey. Tell me, what are people saying? What do you guys think of me? And look what Jesus says to Peter, verse 17. He replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn it from any human being." Peter, you've got a supernatural, prophetic revelation from the Father himself. That's a good time. Now, here's the thing about the road to life. There are difficulties, but there's lots of good times on the road to life. There is joy in the Lord when you get to go on a missions trip, when you get to hand somebody a box of food, when you get to share your testimony, when you get together with somebody who's a Christian that you've never met before, and you just have this supernatural relationship bond between the two of you, and you just start talking like you know, like you've been friends because you've been in the same family ever since you gave your life to Christ. When you get to pray for someone and you see that they actually get healed. When you get to share your story to people and you tell them what God has done in your life, and they're just like, "That is so amazing." When you're outside and you're standing on top of a mountain and you're just looking at how huge the world is and you just get this, "What? God, look what you did." And if you're like me and it's the wintertime and you look up at the night sky when it's clear and you see all of those stars, you're just like, "God, you're amazing." There are so many good times on the road to life. And there's the supernatural activity of God. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he says, "Hey, I want you to go talk to that person." And you go talk to that person. And all of a sudden, they're like, "Why are you talking to me?" And you say, "Well, I hope it's okay. God asked me to." "What?" And you get to explain to them how God works. And they give their life to Christ. When you send a text to a friend or a Bible verse to a friend. I had a friend text me this week, "Hey, what can I pray for you about?" And I said, "Okay, this is what you can pray for me. This is what can I pray for you about?" He said, "Can you pray this for me?" I said, "Awesome." So I sent him a Bible verse that was right in line. I said, "That is a God-honoring prayer." And I sent him this Bible verse. He's like, "Oh, that's an amazing Bible verse." There's a lot of fun times hanging out with God, getting to know the rest of the body. You guys are all my brothers and sisters if you have faith in Christ. I think that's so much fun. I got a big family. I don't know about you, but I have fun when I get together with my family. When we get together, I get so excited. Confessions were over. We're going to be done with that. So right after all of Peter and everybody saying all these good things about Jesus, the road conditions are good, things are going well, divine revelation coming in. Peter is speaking prophetically. There's more that goes to that, but drop down to verse number 21. It says this, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many things at the hands of the elders, leading priests, teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead." All of this stuff is going on, and he's like, "All right, guys, you're ready. We're on the high road now. Things are going well on the road. We're going on the road to new life, and I'm going to tell you what's coming up ahead." I always like looking what's up ahead, whether it's my Google Maps or on the old school maps. My dad tells me this story that when I was little, now don't get mad at my parents, but they didn't have these traffic rules like they have today, but I would stand up on the front seat and point my dad on the way home from church. I'd say, "Okay, turn here, turn here, turn here." My dad would be in prison today if he did that, but it was a different age. But Jesus is saying, "Hey, we're going down this road, and I'm going to tell you what's coming up," right? Like when we're going down a road with family, I'm usually like, "The next bathroom is a half hour, so if you got to go, we're going to stop now so that we don't have to get in trouble on the way. Food is coming down the road. Our next exit, the highway is here. You know, the house is just a little bit further. We're going to be there soon." Jesus says, "I'm telling you what's coming." And then look what happens next. The very next sentence, Peter took Jesus aside and began to reprimand him for saying such a thing. "Heaven forbid, Lord, that this will ever happen to you." He said, "Jesus, no, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. And I pray that God would forbid his purposes in your life." Wait a second, we were just having this good family trip, all me and the guys, road trip to Jerusalem. They're saying all these good things about me. I tell them where they're going, and the one who's got the divine revelation forbids God from telling me to die on the cross? Even Jesus had it difficult on the road to new life. Look what he says in verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." He wasn't calling him actual Satan, because actual Satan's a whole different guy. But he's like, "Buddy, you are so close. And when I start to reveal God's plan, and it's going to be difficult because the road conditions are going to change on you from the time, all of a sudden you stop and you say, 'No, the road to new life is only happiness. The road to new life is always flowers and chocolates and sunny days.'" And Jesus is trying to tell him, and he's trying to tell us, that the road conditions to new life are always changing. There's going to be good times and there's going to be difficult times, because Jesus had to deal with those. In the middle of him trying to explain God's plan, he has this amazing time, and then he has this time where Peter's pulling him aside. And can you see him wagging his finger at Jesus? That's what I see. When Peter does this, I see, come here. "All right, you." Maybe I had that too much in elementary school. But anyway, this is not going to happen. God forbid. You ever try to explain something to somebody and you've taken all of your time and energy and they still don't get it? Can you imagine Jesus being there? He's like, something else we need to understand is that Jesus doesn't pull punches. And sometimes we got to toughen up a little bit and we got to hear hard things. And sometimes when you're wagging your finger at somebody's face, you got to be ready to get it turned back on you, because you are outside of God's plan. And I appreciate when Aaron preached a little while ago about being open to allowing people to say difficult things to us. And we've got to have those kind of relationships. Unfortunately, I found most of the time in churches, people don't want to hear the hard thing. They want to hear the easy thing. They want to hear the thing that's accommodating, especially when you're hurting. I can't tell you how many times, how many funeral directors' homes I've been in, how many phone calls I've gotten. Why did God allow this to happen? That's got nothing to do with anything. The real question is, how is it that God let me live this long? Because I was a sinner, and I was apart from him, and I didn't believe in him, and I rejected him, and I've done this. I've done 1,000,000,000 different things wrong, and the wages of sin is death. How am I even alive? And when we grow to maturity, and the only way that we grow to maturity is getting off the easy road and getting onto the hard road. Anybody can walk on the sidewalk. When I was coming in, it was kind of cool. There was a dad and a little boy. He must have been like this tall. And he had his whole winter stuff on, so he's like, you know what I mean? Anybody can walk on the sidewalk. Who wants to go climb a mountain with the Lord? Because on the other side, not the mountain itself, but on the other side is the good time. And we've got to be willing and able to hear hard things. Jesus didn't give up on Peter because he yelled at him. And as soon as somebody says boo to us, sometimes we're ready to be done with them. And we got to grow up a little bit beyond that, especially if you're a Christ follower. If you're new to church and we do something stupid, come tell me and we'll talk about it and I'll yell at somebody for you. But I really love the grace that you guys give to me. And I love giving grace to you guys. But we also have to talk about truth and what's really going on. So you need to be ready, because as we talk through this series and as where we're going as a church, there's going to be some hard things that we're going to talk about and have to deal with. And there's so much going on this, but I just want to kind of jump to what I want to get to, and I'm going to ask the team to come if you would. On the road to new life, road conditions are not always ideal, and in fact, sometimes they're just plain difficult. On the road. Now, again, this is brilliance, right? I'm telling you something you've never thought or heard of before. But the problem is this. We know a lot of stuff, but we don't do the stuff about what we know about. I think this, and I've thought this for a long time, we are so well educated beyond our obedience to God. We know so much Bible stories and so many Bible verses, but how many are we actually putting into practice? So while today is just an introduction on the road and where we're going and the things that are going to happen, and this isn't, again, this isn't the most brilliant thing. On the road to life, on the road to life, road conditions aren't always ideal, but there's still new life ahead on the road. And sometimes they're just plain difficult, but that doesn't mean that new life still isn't ahead. Aren't you glad we're talking about Easter today? We're on the road to Easter. Where's all the chocolate bunnies and the Easter eggs with jelly beans? I have to tell you something. Jesus left heaven before earth was made. He said, God, I know what you're up to. I know you're going to create this planet. I know you're going to give people free will. I know some of these things are going to begin to happen. And God knew the Father, and Jesus knew the Son, and Jesus said, I volunteer to go when you need me to go. He knew when they put Adam and Eve in the garden that they were going to eat the fruit and disobey and rebel. They were going to rebel. They were going to say, my way is better than your way. Satan's way is better than your way. Jesus said, I'll go. When Cain and Abel were out in the field and Cain attacks, Jesus said, I'm going to go. When Israel decided not to go into the promised land because it was going to be too hard, the enemy's so big, Jesus said, I'll go. When the entire nation gives up on God and they rebel and they start to go their own way and the enemy armies are coming and they're going to take them and ship them out, Jesus says, I'll go. When there's 400 years and there's no new prophet on the scene proclaiming the good news about God, Jesus said, I'll go. And the Father says, it's time. Can we have that kind of attitude that we would go forward? Romans chapter 8 says this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we get that diagnosis? When the check doesn't come in, or when we lose our job, or when our spouse walks out the door, or when our kid decides to walk away, or we're disappointed again, or I didn't get the promotion again, or people aren't paying attention to me, or I'm not in the in crowd. Does it mean that God doesn't love us when all these horrible things begin to happen in our life? Do you know what Paul said? He says, no, despite the hard things that are in your life, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I know you may be going through it. And if you're going through it, I'm here to tell you, just because you're going through it doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. It could very well mean you're on the right road. And don't forget that you still have overwhelming victory coming your way. It's still coming. It's still coming. Because on the road to new life, road conditions are not always ideal. Sometimes it's just plain stinking difficult. You know what I'm talking about because I know you. I know a lot of you. And I want to be truthful with you. There's going to be high times. And like next week, even when we're in the high times, sometimes we still don't get it. There's going to be low times. We're going to talk about that on Good Friday. But just because we're having hard times doesn't mean we're on the wrong road. But all the while, there's life. There's victory. There's Jesus. A little bit later in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. Look what it said in verse 24. If you want to be a follower, if you want to get on the road to new life, if you want to be conformed to the likeness of his son, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been running, or maybe you've been struggling, if you want this, this is how you do it. You give up your way. Give up the world's way. Give up the pattern you learned since you were a kid. Give up the wrong choices that you've been making and the habits that you've been creating. Get that out the way. Because if you get that out of the way, you're going to have life. And then he says this, take up your cross. Now, it'd be great if I had a bunch of crosses here that you could just take out the door. But we don't have to carry a little cross. We have a cross in our church. That's the main focus. Because we have a story about what that symbol means. And what you need to do is pick up your story about what that symbol means in your life. When did Jesus come into your life? What has Jesus done in your life? And do you carry that around like a banner? And you say, I have overcome sin, death, and the grave. I am more powerful than Satan himself. I'm on the road to new life. I am full of the Holy Spirit, and I can pray for a miracle to happen in your life. And I've got the greatest story you could ever hear, because there's a man who died for you so that you could have life forever. But you don't carry my story, and I don't carry your story. Every day you get up with what happened in your life and what God is doing in your life, and you carry that cross around, and you tell people what God has done, and you let your conversations go to godly places, and you build relationships, and you have integrity and credibility so that you can share your story with them, and you pick up that cross every day, and you look around every single day to say, I've got a trophy, I've got a story. I've got an overwhelming victory. When I was diagnosed with this, but this is how God brought me through. When I had this loss, but this is how God brought me through. When I was struggling with this thing, this is how God brought me through. When I was trying to break that old way of doing things, this is what God did in my life. And we begin to share those stories every day if you really want to be a follower of Christ. And then he says, follow me. He says, I've already been down that road. And I have new life. I want you to have it too. Every single one of you to have it too. And when you give your life to Jesus, you receive it. So this is what we have to do. We must walk the road to new life as a conqueror. I want to tell you something. Our soldiers, our men and women who are fighting for us, protecting us, they don't always have smiles on their faces, but they have confidence. I can talk to you. If you want to know, I'll introduce you to some of our veterans. And there's an edge and there's an attitude that says, no, we are winning this thing. We are going to make it through this thing. And it's time for the church to stand up and say, life isn't always easy, but I'm getting through. I struggle and things are hard, but God still loves me. And whatever problem comes my way, victory is coming down the road. And we've got to walk that way. We've got to believe that way. We've got to have that attitude in us. Because guess what? If you have your faith in Jesus, you already have new life. And there's still more to come, and we still got to walk the road. But I've got a cross. I want to tell you, I should be dead, physically dead. But Jesus Christ came into my life, and he's literally saved my life, and he put me on a new path. And I'm walking with him for the last 33 years of my life. And it's never been the same. I've never been more excited than I am today, because every single day he fills me with the Spirit again. I get to spend time in his presence again. I get to hear his voice again. I heard him talking to me today. God himself wants to speak to me and to you. And I carry that with me every day. Doesn't mean there aren't times I got to go to the board and say, you got to help me with these financial things here, because it's a little bit rah. We're going to go for it anyway. It doesn't mean I don't go to my life group and say, guys, this is what's going on. Would you pray for me? Those things happen. But none of those things are going to define who I am or going to stop me from moving forward, because I must go down the road. I got to go. I got to go. So I asked Pastor Daniel if he'd help us and the team, if they'd help us to develop the attitude in us. There's a song he led us before earlier. He calls it Firm Foundation. I call it He Won't. He's got the real title. He's not going to fail you. Jesus will never fail you. Does it mean he doesn't love you if you're going through problems? No. It means overwhelming victory is yours because Christ loves you. There's nothing that's going to happen to you on this earth that's ever going to change that. When you put your faith in Christ, you have new life. So I want to give you an opportunity today, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, to do that. In just a second, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to have everybody just bow their heads. I'm just going to have you look up and make eye contact with me. It's a very simple thing. So everybody, bow your heads. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to get on the road to new life, you've not done this before, I just simply want you to look up and make eye contact with me. I'm going to start over here on the right side, if that's you. Okay, I see you. Who else? Okay. I'm going to go to this right center section. Anybody else want to give your life to Jesus today? Get on that road to new life. I'm going to go to this left center section here. If that's you today, you want to give your life? Okay. Okay. I'm going to go to this far left section. If you want to give your life to the Lord today, you want to get on the road to new life. I'm going to do one quick scan more. If you've already made eye contact with me, you can let it go. But if you still want a chance, you can get on the road right here, right now. Just do a quick, make eye contact with me. Okay. Now everybody can look up. And we're going to pray together. You may not be used to prayer, but prayer is just talking. You do that all the time. And everybody's going to pray this prayer with us. Are you ready? Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to get on the road. You're my Lord. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. I believe, even though you died on the cross, God brought you back to life so I could have a new life. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who gave their life to the Lord today? We pray that prayer because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, that he's the king of you now, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll get on that road. After the song, we're going to have some of our prayer team up here, and we've got a book we'd like to give to you that says, Now What?, about some next steps, and we'd love to pray and talk with you. In the meantime, I'd invite everybody to stand with me, and let's begin to, despite the road conditions, despite the difficulty, despite maybe our sin, despite maybe our confusion, despite whatever's going on, that we are going to trust in Jesus. And we're going to believe that overwhelming victory is ours. We're going to carry our cross around, our story of where Jesus got in there and he changed everything. And we're going to share that story. And we got to take our faith level up. We got to start to believe this. You are a conqueror. You have overwhelming victory. You can walk around like you own the place, because you're a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, church? Say amen. Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.